Okay, so this year the Haggadah that I chose to use is the based on the suggestion of Matthew Wexler, is the Haggadah of Rav Yitzchak Isaac Chaver. I had it on my shelf for years and I never looked at it before, so I was very excited to take it off my shelf and look at it. Apparently it's been reprinted and there's a much nicer printing now of the Haggadah of Rav Yitzchak Isaac Chaver. Maybe there's even a biography in there because there's not much information about him online, but basically just the little bit of background of who he was. He was a Lithuanian Rav in the 1800s. He was a very interesting person. He was a big Rav in a small town, meaning he was a great Talmud Chacham and a great Mekubal. He was a Rav in a bunch of tiny little towns. He is best known for being a Talmud of the Talmud of the Vilna Gaon. I think we mentioned last week in Shir, the Vilna Gaon lived in the 1700s and was obviously a totally unique personality. He didn't really publish anything, and nor did he have a yeshiva. People would come to try to learn by the Vilna Gaon, and some people would be allowed in, and some people weren't, and the Bir Agra was published by his children, his Talmidim, after his Patira. So the children, in the introduction to the Bir Agra, they list his closest Talmidim in Nigla and Nister. So among the closest Talmidim, obviously Rav Chaim Volozhiner was among the closest Talmidim, but also the Mishklov brothers, right? Menachem Mendel Mishklov and Rav... for some reason, I'm forgetting the other one. But Rav Menachem Mendel Mishklov was one of the great Gaonim that was a Talmud of the Vilna Gaon. During the 10 years, so he came to learn by the Gra during the last 2 years of the Gra's life. He moved to Vilna, Rav Menachem Mendel Mishklov, and in the 10 years that followed the Gra's Patira, before Rav Menachem Mendel Mishklov made Aliyah, he became obsessed with publishing anything he could from the Gra. So in those 10 years that he stayed in Vilna, a young 14-year-old boy moved to Vilna to learn by Rav Menachem Mendel Mishklov, and that was Rav Yitzchak Isaac Chaver. And in that time, he picked up all of the Kabbalah of the Gra, and he stayed for 5 years, not for 2 years. He stayed from the age 14 to the age of 19. He was learning by Rav Menachem Mendel Mishklov, and he learned a lot of the Gra's Kabbalah at that time. He did not live a very long life. He lived until his early 60s. He died in 1853. He was a Rav in Tiktin, in Sulvak, right? We know from Harish of the Sulvak Rav was Rav David Lipschitz, but before Rav David, Rav Menachem Mendel, Rav Yitzchak Isaac Chaver was Rav there, and some other small towns in Europe. He wrote a sefer to defend himself from those who attack Kabbalah. He wrote a number of svarim, also Shalos and Tshuvas. He wrote Mishnas Chaver, Pesachei Sharim, and the Yetz Chaim. He wrote a number of svarim. His comments are printed, some of his comments on Shas are printed in the back of the Gemara. So he was a very, very big Talmud Chacham and a very big Mekubal. So one of the things I like about the Haggadah is that I enjoy when someone writes a commentary directly on the Haggadah and they have a yesod that they think the Haggadah is trying to teach you, and that yesod comes out in almost every vart, in almost every idea. So the most famous part of the Haggadah of Rav Yitzchak Isaac Chaver is the Yad Mitzrayim, which is the introduction to the Haggadah. That's the Kabbalistic part. That's the part that's a lot harder to understand. It's not purely Kabbalistic, but there are a lot of Kabbalistic ideas in that part. We're not going to go through that because I didn't go through that. I just skimmed it a little bit, and it seemed like, this is probably above my pay grade. I probably can't do this. So, but the actual commentary in the Haggadah itself, the actual commentary line by line of the Haggadah is very straightforward. It's not at all no overt Kabbalistic ideas. It's just a very straightforward pshat and messages of what he thinks the Seder is all about. So he has a few yesodos, but the primary yesod that he works through, that he works with throughout the entire Haggadah, is that when we left Mitzrayim, the world was renewed with a new way of Hashkachas Hashem, a new way of HaKadosh Baruch Hu relating to us, and that is through direct Hashkacha, through Derech, not through Derech Teva anymore, but Derech Neis, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu related to us based in a much more direct way, based on whether we behaved or didn't behave, whether we kept his mitzvahs or didn't keep his mitzvahs. And that was not the way that Hashem ran the world prior to Yetzias Mitzrayim. That the whole enterprise of Yetzias Mitzrayim was a conscious effort by the Ribbono Shel Olam to demonstrate to us that the rules of how he runs the world are changing, at least as far as Klal Yisrael is concerned. That now our actions will determine how well things go for us, and sometimes in miraculous, miraculous ways. And he consistently refers to Yetzias Mitzrayim as a bria chadasha. That's the way. That's the yisod of the entire Haggadah. He has a few other yisodos the generally Yetzias Mitzrayim was also just to introduce us to Hashem, to give us an introduction to what Kadosh Baruch Hu was, and also that there's a dual purpose of matzah. This one comes up in a lot of the Vartz that he says that there's a dual purpose of matzah. That matzah is there as a way of showing absolute dedication to the Ribbono Shel Olam because it's so bland and it's so flavorless and it's so we're showing that like a pas b'melach tochal kind of dedication to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and it's also representative of the fact that the chipazon that we rushed out of Mitzrayim. But there are two chipazons. There's the chipazon of the just bland pure dedication to Hashem, so we just rush and eat it because it's not really about the eating, it's just about, you know, sustaining ourselves to serve Hashem. That's one type of chipazon. So you rush when you're eating it, you eat it quickly because you're not sitting there and indulging. And the second element of chipazon is the chipazon of getting out of Mitzrayim, that the dough didn't have a chance to rise. That's another one of his yesodos that he carries through in many of the varts through the Haggadah. So let's go through a number of the ideas that he has through the Haggadah. They're not all like say overable, you know, if that's a they're not like all like nice gematria that you could, but you know, but they're profound ideas. So halach ma'anya, he says the yesod is what we just said, that there are two reasons for matzah on the night of the Seder. First is al shum shlo hisvik b'sekem shlo v'sim l'hachmitz, that we were rushing out of Mitzrayim, so we didn't have time for the dough to rise, but also because we were told to eat matzah together with Korban Pesach. And there was no rushing out of Mitzrayim then. That night, we were eating Korban Pesach. It wasn't because our dough didn't have a chance to rise. We had a mitzvah of matzah on that night. So he says, because there are two qualities to matzah. Matzah is, first, it's unleavened, and that has to be true throughout all 7 days, but also it has no chashivas and no flavor, and that really only has to be true on the first night. The idea that matzah, you can't have matzah ashira, that's only for the mitzvah of matzah on the first night. So he explains that the reason that the Seder night matzah has to be bland and not be matzah ashira is that in order to be for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take out goy mikerev goy, to distinguish us from the nations of the entire world, we have to recognize that our primary purpose of existence is to serve Hashem, and the physical pleasures should never be the primary focus. So when we have our Seder, that represents kol benecha lo yochal bo, on the Seder night that we don't have, right? It's always struck me as odd that people invite a Nachri to their Seder. That's the last place. Invite a Nachri for Shabbos if you want to invite a Nachri for whatever reason. Nachri doesn't belong at the Seder. Kol benecha lo yochal bo, you're not supposed to have a Nachri at the Seder. So we only have bland bread to show that we're different, that we eat because we need to eat, to sustain ourselves in order to be over Hashem, but not because we like to indulge. And we were even commanded on that night to eat the matzah b'chipazon, to eat it quickly, because again, it shouldn't be an indulgent type of eating. Whereas throughout the rest of the Seder, it's all about the chipazon of leaving Mitzrayim. So that you could have matzah ashira, because it wasn't really about representing what separates us from the goyim. It was just about the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out quickly. So it just can't be chametz. It just has to be unleavened, right? That's the rest of the Seder. So with that, he explains the paragraph of Halach Manya. With that idea, he says, Halach Manya d'yachla v'san abara d'mitzrayim, the lechem only was eaten bi'ara d'mitzrayim, while we were still in Mitzrayim. Meaning this is the Halach Manya that we're talking about, that we ate at the Seder in Mitzrayim, not while we were avadim in Mitzrayim. He doesn't even relate to that, of eating matzah because we were avadim and we were so rushed as avadim that we didn't have time for the dough to rise. Every other Haggadah relates to that. He does not relate to that at all. He says, no, this is that we ate in Mitzrayim on the Seder night in Mitzrayim, on the night preceding Geula. And we continue that kol dichvin yese v'yechol, we only eat for basic sustenance and not for indulgence. So therefore, this bread is really only for hungry people. Anyone who's hungry, eat this bread, because that's the only reason you eat. You eat because you're hungry. You don't eat because there's an explosion of flavor in the food experience, right? Meaning that's not why a Jew eats. A Jew eats because he's hungry. You eat to sustain yourself. Kol ditzrich yesev yifsach. Since it's only about sustenance, we should quickly eat quickly, like the Pesach, which is eaten b'chipazon. So kol ditzrich yesev yifsach. Yifsach means the way you you would eat a Korban Pesach, where you got to, you know, you have a time frame that you got to eat it in, and you got to rush to give the next group a chance, right? The way the Mishnayos and Pesachim describe. So it has to be eaten quickly. And if we treat food that way, then we'll merit the Gula. Hashatach l'shana ba b'arad Yisrael. And when we serve Hashem with great simcha, we're no longer going to feel like we're slaves to our desires. We'll be truly free. Hashata avdi l'shana ba b'nei chorin. So it's a remarkable idea that he understands Halach Ma'ani as a statement of refraining from self-indulgence, refraining from indulging in food, from overindulging in food, and hanas olam hazeh, that it's a statement of avodas Hashem, that we're here to serve Hashem, and the way we eat is as avdei Hashem, and that's what the halach mani, that's how it sets the tone for the night of the Seder. Then he moves on to Avad Mayinu. He skips Manashtana. He doesn't have a single vart of Manashtana. Probably the only Agada I've ever seen in my life that doesn't have a single vart on Manashtana. But he has on Avad Mayinu. He says that the purpose of Mitzias Mitzrayim is to change the way Hashem runs the world, right? This is the Yisod he's going to keep coming back to, where the connection between our actions and what happens to us, even if it means a suspension of the laws of nature, is going to be more direct. And that change required bringing us to Mitzrayim for two reasons, and these two reasons are articulated with the phrase that Hamelech Kasha VaMedina Kasha. Chazal have such a phrase, that Mitzrayim was a Melech Kasha and it was a Medina Kasha. What does that mean? That Mitzrayim was the strongest land, and the Moshel of Mitzrayim is the first and most powerful, meaning the angel of Mitzrayim up in Shemayim, is the first and most powerful of all the ministering, protecting angels of various lands. So it's a Melech Kasha, the actual government in Mitzrayim, and the actual people that were running the country at the time was Kasha, the Medina Kasha. The very nature of the Medina of Mitzrayim on a metaphysical level was Kasha. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu Dafka brought us there, where HaMelech Kasha, the Medina Kasha. And in relating the purpose of Hashem's miracles, there's a double expression. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out, it says in the paragraph, Biyad Chazaka, and also Bezroa Netuya. Biyad Chazaka means to punish those who have harmed us, and Bezroa Netuya means Hashem stretches out His hand for Klal Yisrael to see how powerful He is. Meaning, like, if you want to show your strength without actually hurting somebody, so, a child is misbehaving, and the father, flexes his muscle or something, and he's like, oh, I better not start up with him, right? So it's you're not actually doing anything to the kid, but you're just showing the might. So that's Zroa Netuya. And he says, and that's why the purpose of the miracles are described in two ways. He says, first, Shitleman Shisio Sosai Ela Bikirbo, that relates to Mitzrayim. And second, Leman Tesaper Ba'azei Vincho Ben Vincha Es Asher Salalti B'Mitzrayim V'yadatim Kinei Hashem, to show us what Hashem is capable of. So again, in Avad Mayinu, we've used the purpose of this paragraph to describe to us the dual purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim, to bring us to a place whereby all natural laws we would have no chance. HaMelech Kasha VaMedina Kasha. And Dafka through that to demonstrate two points, that he's going to punish those who harm us, and that we should always have an appreciation of the strength of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the capabilities of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he's Kol Yachol. Then we say Vayter, V'ilu Lo Hotzi, that since the process of Yetzias Mitzrayim is designed to build our sense of Hashkacha Pratis by demonstrating that we never could have gotten out by natural means, meaning we make that point that by nature we wouldn't have been able to get out. That's why knowledge of the story isn't enough, and it needs review and it needs chizuk, because the whole point is to remind us that there's Hashkachas Hashem. And that's why afilu kulanu chachamim, kulanu nevonim. Knowing the story intellectually is not enough. It's an emuna building process. And emuna is built not by knowing something. Emuna is built by talking about it constantly. That's a fundamental idea that, if you look around like at elementary schools, some of them do it better than others, right? Meaning, I was talking to some people recently in a different community, and they were saying that they find their children are never talking about Hashem. They talk a lot about halacha, they talk about, whatever they're learning, They never ever talk about Hashem. So they find that they struggle with emunah, because if you're not talking about Hashem, if it's not something that you're that becomes a topic of conversation, so emunah doesn't happen. Just you ask them, do you know that? Yeah, I know there is a God, but because they learned that there is a God. But if you're not constantly chazring and constantly bringing it to mind, so then it's not. So afilu kulanu chacham kulanu nevonim. It's not just about knowing the story. It's about this builds our emunah and hashkachas Hashem, and that's why that explains why Hashem brought us to the Kor HaBarzel, meaning if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to recognize him, why didn't he just do like what he did for Avraham Avinu, like introduce himself? Hi Avraham, I'm God, right? And you know, and that'll be it. We should he give us the wisdom to open our eyes, to recognize that there is Ribbono Shel Olam in the world. He had to bring us to Mitzrayim, make us slaves for hundreds of years. I mean, yeah, because when you experience something like that, it's more powerful than Seichel. Whatever you achieve with Seichel, you'll know, but you're not going to live. But what you achieve with experience, you'll actually live. It will actually be something that's a part of you. So we have to go through the experience, and then we have to chazer over the experience. Kulanu chacham, kulanu nevonim. It doesn't make a difference. We have to chazer over that experience, because it's about building that sense of emunah in Hashkachas Hashem. Then he moves on, Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah seems surprised. He said, I was harei nikiven shivim shana, and for some reason, no one was willing to listen to my psak halacha. I was already like 70 years old, and a chiddush, a pella. No one was listening to me. What does it mean, kiven shivim shana? So we know he's referring to the Gemara in Brachos that he wasn't 70. He was kiven shivim shana. How old was he? 18. So such a pella that no one was listening to his psak halacha that you should say it's Yitzchak Mitzrayim b'leilos. So Rav Yitzchak is a chaver. Why is he surprised? He's 18. He's a kid, right? I mean, what would he lo zachisi? Of course, lo zachisa. Grow up a little bit, and then you'll be zachisa. What does that mean? Not shabar b'kiva, right? What is it? Shadosh ben Zoma. That so what's the story? So he suggests. This is a sayover boulevard. He says that the Gemara tells us that Beis Hillel were zoche to have the halacha follow them because they were nochen va'aluvim. They were exceedingly patient and exceedingly humble. They were always makdim divrei Beis Shammai l'divreihem. They always listened to hear what Beis Shammai had to say first. And the idea is, he says, that anyone who has a nitzotz from the neshama of Moshe Rabbeinu, anyone who has a spark from the neshama of Moshe Rabbeinu, is more likely to be zocha that the halacha should follow him. That he's more likely to be zocha lasuke shmeitza libede hilchasa. So anybody with extraordinary humility is more likely a nitzotz of Moshe Rabbeinu. That is, neshama is a nitzotz of Moshe Rabbeinu. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was anu mikol adam, so one of the simanim of someone who has that spark of Moshe Rabbeinu in him is someone who has extreme humility. So the fact that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah wouldn't accept the nesius due to his youth until they were maskim in Hashemayim demonstrated a certain amount of humility. They offered it to him, and he said, "No, I'm not worthy. I'm too young." So maybe that's the why afal pikein lo zachisi shetikva alacha kamoso, that he's saying, and afal pikein, even though I had that humility, I couldn't, it was a chiddush, the halacha couldn't be said like me, that you say yitzias Mitzrayim b'leilos atchid darsha ben zoma. So it was a chiddush that it wasn't accepted only because of his humility, because by the pashto should be that anyone who has that exceeding humility, the halacha should follow him. As far as the actual content of Yitzias Mitzrayim Balelos, so what exactly is that machlokas, whether you say Yitzias Mitzrayim Balelos or not? So in explaining the machlokas, whether we do Yitzias Mitzrayim at night, you have to remember the machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Shub and Levi in Brachos of Dalet and Beis. Rabbi Yochanan, for those who learn Brachos, Rabbi Yochanan holds that you do Smich School of Tefillah both in morning and at night. And Rabbi Shimon Levi says, no, you do smich school tefillah in the morning, but not at night. Tefillos be'emtza tiknum, is Rabbi Shimon Levi, is that the you have geula, tefillah, geula, in terms of the order of the day. Right? Ka'al Yisrael in the morning, shachris, mincha mariv, and then geula again after the Shemona Esrei. So Rabbi Yochanan holds you need smich school tefillah both at night and both during the day and at night. And Rabbi Shimon Levi says, no, tefillos be'emtza tiknum. And the reason is, the Gemara explains, that Rabbi Yochanan holds the Ikar Gula was at night, and Rabbi Shimon Levi holds the Ikar Gula was at day. So if you hold the Ikar Gula was at night, so you need Smich School of Tefillah at night also. But if you hold the Ikar Gula was at day, then you only need Smich School of Tefillah during the day. And the idea is that, meaning, what was the Metzius? When was the Gula? When did it actually happen? So when did it actually happen? So it depends what you define as geula, right? It happened in the day because the pasuk says, right? Which means it happened in the day. But what happened during the day? We walked out during the day. But what happened at night? So the avdus and the shibud was solved b'chatzia layla. The mitzvah had no power over us anymore. Already b'chatzia layla, when all the b'charim were dying and everything. So that was solved once and for all b'chatzia layla. Being in a foreign land wasn't solved until the next day when we actually walked out. So that's what's really the core machlokas, is what is the Ikar Geula? Is the Ikar Geula that the Avdus and the Shibud ended? Or is the Ikar Geula that the Mitzrayim ended? That we were able to leave Mitzrayim? So the question is that according to Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, that the real Geula was that day, so then why do we have the Seder with all the mitzvahs at night? Especially superstitious Mitzrayim, it should be during the day. Right? I mean, everyone holds the Seders at night. So Rabbi Yitzchak explains that L'chora, This you have to plug this in to the famous Machlokas Tanaim of what the latest man is to eat the Karban Pesach, right? What's the Machlokas Tanaim? Chatzos or the next morning, right? Or by the next morning, by Elos HaShachar. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah maybe holds its Chirisis Mitzrayim is done at night, assumes like Rabbi Yochanan that the Yekrugul is at night. And that's where Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah holds the Shitaso that the Zman Achilis Karban Pesach is only till Chatzos. Meaning this same Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who says that you should be maskir Yetzias Mitzrayim b'leilos. Why does he think you should be maskir Yetzias Mitzrayim b'leilos? It's because he holds the Ikar Geula is at night. And therefore, l'shitaso he holds that the Korban Pesach can only be eaten until Chatzos. Because the Ikar Geula is then. And Chatzos is when the Ikar Geula happened. That's what we're focused on. And therefore, he follows the Shita that smichus geula tefillah is only during is during nighttime as well. He follows Rabbi Shimon ben Levi's shita, whereas Rabbi Akiva holds you can eat Karban Pesach all night. Why? Because the ikar geula is during the day, and what we're focused on is what the Gemara says is the chipazon to Yisrael. So the ikar zman geula is biyom. So you keep Karban Pesach up until yom. So that's the ikar zman of the geula, and he's following the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan that there is no smichas geula tefillah. I mean, Rabbi Shimon Levi that tefillah is be'emtza tiknum, that there is no smichas geula tefillah at night. Whereas Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was following the shita of Rabbi Yochanan that there is smichas geula l'tefillah at night. So that's how he sees the whole picture over here, that you have to put all of the machlokas together. Whether you're maskir Yetzias Mitzrayim b'leilos is parallels the machlokas whether the ikar geula is biyom or b'layla, which parallels whether you do smichas geula l'tefillah at night, which parallels the machlokas as to when the latest time to eat the Karban Pesach is, whether it's at Chatzos or whether it's by the next morning. Okay, then he moves on to Baruch HaMakom. So what's the connection between Baruch HaMakom and either the paragraph that precedes it or the paragraph that follows it, right? It's just seems like four quick brachas. Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shnos, Nisrael, Lama Yisrael, Baruch Hu. Plus two of them are repeated, right? Baruch Hu is repeated. So he suggests, based on the idea that Yetzias Mitzrayim was a Bria Chadasha, where Hashem started relating to the world in a miraculous way based on how we observe Torah mitzvos, whereas previously the world ran with what he calls Sidur Tiv'i, Lefi Inyan Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach, Nasnu L'tikun HaMedina Shia Olam Kfi Siduro HaTiv'i, that the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach are there just to make sure society runs, and everything is done B'derech HaTeva. So this paragraph sets the stage by stating unequivocally that even when the world ran through Derech HaTeva, it was still being run by Hashem. Meaning, even though there's a paradigm shift now, and now we're going to see things in a more obvious way, we're going to see much more clearly that the Ribbono Shel Olam runs the world, because there's going to be this Derech Neis, and when we do mitzvahs, Hashem is going to reward us, and when we do averus, Hashem is going to punish us, even though that's going to be much more obvious now, but even when everything was b'Derech HaTeva, Hashem was doing that also. And that duality of how Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world is reflected in a pasuk in Tehillim. Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael Osin Flos Gedolos Levado, that Hashem relates to the Jewish people through miracles. He's Elokei Yisrael and he's also Niflos Gedolos, because that's his new Hanhaga with Klal Yisrael. That with Klal Yisrael it's Derech Neis, it's not Derech Teva. But also, Uvaruch Shem Kvodo Liolam V'Yimali Chvodo Es Kol Ha'aretz, that the cover of Hashem is it's Malayas Kala Aretz, that all the other nations of the world and all the places in the world, the way the world normally runs, is also Kvodo. That's also the Kavod of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So says Rav Yitzchak Isaac Chavah, that's what's happening in this paragraph of Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. That first we say Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. When Hashem runs the world with nature, and it looks like Hashem designated like a separate place for the natural world, and He makes it look as if He doesn't interfere. Hashemayim, Shemayim Hashem, Aretz Nasan L'Bnei Adam. But even when it's Baruch HaMakom, when it's like a place that's just running itself, we're reminded that it's still Baruch Hu, that He's the one running everything. That even in the pre-Yetzias Mitzrayim model of how things worked, even in the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu interacts with the Umos HaOlam, where it's Alpi Derech HaTev and it's not Alpi Neis, it's a Baruch HaMakom kind of thing, but it's still Baruch Hu. And then, Baruch Shenasa and Torah Li'amo Yisrael, when He gave Torah and He started running the world miraculously, then Baruch Hu also. We recognize that, everyone recognizes that that's Hashem. V'ro kalame aretz kishem Hashem nikra aleha. And that's why, since it's such a foundational idea to the way Hashem runs the world, we follow it up right away with Keneged Arba Banim Dibre Torah, that we have to teach this idea to everybody, to all of our children, no matter their level, no matter how they ask, if they know how to ask, they don't know how to ask, because it's a foundational idea that, again, Rav Yitzchak Isaac Chavah sees as the message of the Haggadah, which is fascinating, meaning many of the other Haggadahs, the message is just stam emun of Hashem, or that Hashem loves us, or that Hakaras HaTov, you know, Ta'akonish Baruch Hu, right? Those are the classic, you know, that you see coming up in Haggadah after Haggadah. This is somewhat unique, that his vision of the Haggadah is that the whole purpose of the Haggadah is to understand that Hashem shifted the way He interacts with Klal Yisrael. That used to be B'derech HaTeva, and now it's B'derech Neis, and we have that Emunah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu interacts with us on that more direct and obvious level, and it has to be expressed over and over again to our children in every which way, so that they can have that that sense of Emunah. So then he goes on to actually discussing the Dalet Banim. So he starts with the Chacham. The problem everyone asks about the question of the Ben HaChacham, what's the question everyone asks of the Ben HaChacham? He also says you, right? We're willing to punch the Rasha in the face because the Rasha says you, and you know, and the Chacham also says lachem. The Rasha says eschem, and the Chacham says lachem, right? So it doesn't seem all that different from the Rasha's question. So in reality, Rav Yitzchak Isaac Chavah points out it's not a question because he's masker shem shemayim. The whole tone of his question is entirely different. He's masker shem shemayim. He understands that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the world. The word eschem is only on account of the fact that he's a katan and he's pater from mitzvahs. So he says you because he's a child. How do I know he's a child? Because you know, the proof that he's a child is that a chacham who's a gadol wouldn't be asking about the anomalies of the Seder night. He would already know about it, right? He's seen it a few times, right? So it wouldn't be so the very fact that he's asking about it is. And he's not Hotzias Atzmo min HaKlal. He says Elokeinu. In the Nusach of his question, he says Elokeinu. Elokeinu, not Elokecha, Elokeinu. So it's very clear that he's including himself. But he's saying you, as far as the Chukim Mishpatim, the mitzvos, that's the you. Because I'm not Chayiv in mitzvos yet. But it's also interesting that he divides into three categories of mitzvos. He asks about mitzvos in general. So he's asking a very philosophical question. Meaning, sometimes you'll have someone that will ask, why do we do this, right? And sometimes someone will like zoom out and say, well, what is the philosophy of a mitzvah, right? And he's able to look back and say, oh, it looks like there are klalim over here. It looks like that it's not that we have 613 disparate mitzvahs. It seems like we have three categories over here. We have Eidos, we have Chukim, and we have Mishpatim. So maybe just explain to me what the Eidos are, what the Chukim are, what the Mishpatim are, what they're each meant to achieve. And that's the question of the Ben HaChacham, right? He's asking about the Eidos, the Chukim, and the Mishpatim. All three are identified. What are Taka, Eidos, Chukim, Mishpatim? So Eidos is something where the basic ideas and beliefs of Torah, like Shabbos, that teaches that Hashem created the world, are expressed through a mitzvah, right? So you have a mitzvah like Shabbos, teaches you Hashem created the world. So it's an Eidos to something. That mitzvah represents something that happened, or something that you have to believe. Then you have Mishpatim. Mishpatim are those laws that just make sure society can run, that society functions. Society functions with mishpatim. There's nesir gezel and gedeva and onaa, things like that are mishpatim. And then you have chukim. Chukim are what he calls mitzvah sgulim, that help with shleimus hanefesh v'tikuna. They help just make you a better person, a more pure and holy person. We don't understand the nefesh. We don't understand the tikkun ha-nefesh. Meaning we don't really understand what exactly a neshama is and what a nefesh is and what exactly we're made up of. And therefore, we're not going to always understand the prescription that Hashem gives us for a tikkun ha-nefesh. And that's what a chok is. A chok is some mitzvah that's meant for the sake of tikkun ha-nefesh, and we don't really understand it because we don't even understand the nefesh. So you have edus, chukim, and mishpatim. And the response, we only respond to him with one mitzvah. He asks about three categories. We respond with one mitzvah. What mitzvah do we respond with? To the Chacham? Ein meftirin achar Pesach. It's all Pesach. We respond to him with Karban Pesach. So it says Rabbi Yitzchak Zuchavir, because Pesach is the perfect mitzvah to respond to him with. Because Pesach has all three. It has Eidos, Chukim, and Mishpatim within Karban Pesach. He says the very mitzvah of Karban Pesach is Eidos. Right? It's Eidos to the fact that Hashem skipped over the our homes to save our Bukharim, even as he was killing the Bukharim Mitzrayim. So it's Eidos to a foundational idea in Amunah. It's Eidos to an event that occurred. It's also Mishpatim, that Bebayis Echad Yochal, and not to eat if you aren't registered on the Karban. Meaning those are basic things of how to get along with other people. Don't just show up last minute and say, oh, can you feed me also from your Karban Pesach? You got to be pre-registered, give a little advance warning before you show up. Appreciate boundaries, appreciate your own chelek without looking at somebody else's, so you're eating in your bais and they're eating in their bais, not just eating publicly. Every group is on their own, so you're not looking over your shoulder. That's mishpatim. And then there are chukim, the fact that it has to be roasted, can't break any bones. Right, those are things that somehow affect the tikkun ha-nefesh, but they're not really representative of an event that happened, nor are they mishpatim that help for the running of society. Those are the chukim within Karban Pesach. So Karban Pesach is the kind of thing that represents all three categories. So the Ben HaChacham is asking a philosophical question, and we answer with the Karban Pesach. And the answer really relates to the third category more than the others, because that is the least understandable category, right? The category of chukim. The Ein Maftir Nachar Pesach Afikomen parallels to the Sudas Halav Yasan, he says, which is also done ala sova. The Navi says, V'achaltam achol suavi laltam, that you'll eat and you'll be savoy, you'll be satiated, and you'll praise Hashem. The idea that nothing comes after us, after the Karban Pesach, is there to teach us that it's representative of the Sudas Halav Yasan, that the schar in Olam Abba is nitzchi, that there's nothing that comes after it, that it's an eternal schar. And that's why Yaakov Avinu brought Shnei Gdiyayizim, Echa Keneged HaChagigah, Echa Keneged HaPesach, because he wanted both Chai Olam Hazeh and Chai Olam Abba. The Chagigah represents Olam Hazeh, because there is Yesh Acharav. After the Chagigah, you still eat something else after that. So that represents Olam Hazeh. The Karban Pesach represents Olam Abba, because it's the final thing that you eat. It's the last thing that comes. Olam Abba is Netzach. That's why the Reach Gan Eden came in with Yaakov Avinu when he walked in. And that's why the Medrash says, Vayavi lo yayin vayesht, says the Medrash that he brought him yayin ha-meshumar ba'anavav shu su'udas levyasan ha-mu'usal v'tzadikim la'asadavo. Meaning essentially what we're relating to the Ben HaChacham is that in that third category, it's beyond us. It's something that's going to be something that's very eternal. It's something that affects the part of us that's eternal, the nefesh that's eternal, that's going to be there forever. And therefore, in a certain sense, Ein Maftir Nachar Pesach Hafikomen is representative of the idea that there's going to be a Sudas HaShalav Yasan, where there's going to be something that's nitzchi about us. And that's what we're taking care of. That's what we're nourishing with the Karban Pesach. So while the Karban Pesach touches on all three, on all three categories, the emphasis to the Ben HaChacham is on that last category, because that's the most difficult one to understand. And then the Rasha. So the Rasha, there are three red flags with the Rasha's question. First of all, he never mentions Shem Shemayim. Second of all, he refers to Torah mitzvahs as an avoda. And third, he denies schar va'onesh and hashkachas Hashem. So in the Torah, the answer to the Rasha is, "V'amartem zevach pesach l'Hashem asher pesach l'batim b'nei Yisrael b'natros Mitzrayim v'zbeteinu itzil." Right? That's not what we answer in the Haggadah, but that's the answer in the Torah to the Ben HaRasha. The answer in the Torah is really all about Makas Bechoros, not about any of the other miracles. Because Makas Bechoros is what most directly demonstrates Schar Va'onesh. None of the other Makos have an explicit Mida Keneged Mida expressed in the Pesukim like Makas Bechoros does. And Makas Bechoros, it says in the Pesukim, the Mida Keneged Mida, it says, V'amartel lefnei paro, b'ni Bechori Yisrael, that I view Klal Yisrael as my Bechor, Hashem says. And therefore give my Bechor the opportunity to serve me. And when you refuse to let them go, your Bechor is going to be killed. It's the only Midah that's explicit in the Pesukim. So for the Rasha, the answer to the Rasha in the Torah is about Hashkachas Hashem. Midah Keneged Midah. That Hashem responds in kind to how we behave. So why don't we tell that to the Rasha at the Seder? So Rizkai Zechav makes the same ha'ara that everybody makes, and that is, it does not say in the Torah, v'amartem lahem, v'amartem lo. It says, v'amartem zevach pesach. What does v'amartem mean? The Rasha's not listening. He doesn't believe that there was a Makas Becharos. You can tell him about Makas Becharos, yeah, show me in history, where is it, what's the archaeological evidence for Makas Becharos? I mean, he doesn't believe it anyway. The Torah doesn't say v'amartem love, it says v'amartem, which means that when there's an attack on Emunah, when a person hears someone who's attacking Emunah, we have to strengthen ourselves, we turn inward. V'amartem, say to yourself, the Torah doesn't have an answer to give directly to the Ben HaRasha, Haggadah doesn't either. Neither the Torah nor the Haggadah answers the Ben HaRasha, because the Ben HaRasha is not listening for an answer. We have to return to ourselves and remind ourselves of the foundations of Emunah. The idea of Hakei Hashinav is similar to Altan Ksil Kivalto, that don't respond to a fool in his foolishness. So don't, meaning Hakei Hashinav means don't leave him hungry for an answer, because don't engage. If somebody doesn't believe in Hashkachas Hashem, he wouldn't be zocha to the upgrade in the way Hashem runs the world that happened at Yitzias Mitzrayim. And that's what we highlight. Leave lo lo. Ilu hayasham lo hayanigal. If a person is not willing to accept that the idea that there's Hashkachas Hashem, so that entire change, which is the Yisoda Yisodos, according to Rizkai Zechav of the whole Haggadah, was that there was a change in the way Hashem related to humanity, that change isn't for him. That change is for people who see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in their lives. And that's the Rasha. The Tam doesn't ask a deep philosophical question about the meaning of it all. Tam means he's Tamim. He accepts B'tamimus, and he's only going to ask about details within the system that he already accepts anyway, and he takes for granted anyway. And that's why in the Torah it says, "Vayuki v'yacha v'avarta kol petarechem v'yuki yishalcha bincha." That it's right after the idea of Pidyon Bechor. That the Tam asks, oh, what's the story with that? Meaning the Tam doesn't ask chukim, edus, chukim, mishpatim, philosophically, what's it all about? No, there's a mitzvah of, you know, Bechor. I'd like to understand the details of the din of Bechor. It doesn't talk about the very notion of Kiddush Bechoros, but just ask, I accept that notion. Why is there a possibility of Pidyon, of a Bechor? So we answer, that Hashem had to redeem the Bechor Yisrael by taking the Bechor Mitzrayim instead, so too the Kedushas HaBechor will come through the Pidyon. And that's the answer that seems to be given to the Tam in the Torah. The Eini Yodei Lishol, he says, is really the most interesting. He says Eini Yodei Lishol is it's an anomaly in the way we do Chinuch. Normally, Eini Yodei Lishol means someone who's at a very, very early stage of his development. He's not, you know, children, when they're very young, they learn best by rote and memorization. They're not ready for analysis. Analysis comes later. Sometimes people try to think, teach higher order thinking skills to a 5-year-old. It just doesn't work. They're not ready for that yet. That comes at a later time. And what should be focused on at the younger ages, right? Ben Chamesh, Lemikra, Ben Esra, Lemishnah, have no, just know the psukim, know the halachas, zug, say it over, say it over, say it over, and that builds the foundation. And then Ben Chamesh Esrei in the Talmud, when he's 15 years old, he's going to be able to start analyzing things, be able to start understanding things. As Rav Shechter once told us, that Rav Shechter said, I was 16 when I went through a Salvechik Shir. If I would have gone when I was 14, I probably would not have understood it so well. Ben Chamesh Esrei in the Talmud. The fact that we start engaging the Inyan HaLishma on the meaning behind mitzvahs is a pella, it's a chiddush. And there's no other mitzvah that we do that with. Every other mitzvah, we just teach them what to do. Right? We tell them, you know, put on tzitzis, okay? So he puts on tzitzis. We just tell them what to, and that's the mitzvah of chinuch. The mitzvah of chinuch is be margil him in the maisa mitzvah, that he should know how to do the mitzvah. But the Inyan HaLishma, he's not holding there. And yet, we start explaining that, you know, this is not enough to do habitually. It's not enough to just be margil him in a Seder. When it comes to Matzah and Pesach, we have to teach the reasons for it. Lahashrish belibo inyan Yitzias Mitzrayim shehu hashoresh lakol. That since Yitzias Mitzrayim is the foundation of Emunah, that has to be taught at the youngest of ages. Even before he's ready for higher level thinking, Emunah, Emunah, Emunah. That has to be taught. I remember when we met with Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein earlier this year, a number of Rabbanim, so we went to Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein's house and we asked him, what should we be emphasizing with the Balabatim? What should we be talking about? And Rav Zilberstein Kedarko smiled and he said, Emunah. And then we're like, okay. Like, we thought we'd get a little more than one word. And he said, Emunah. Again, he just kept on saying it. So, meaning that's the Yisodei Yisodos, Emunah. So that has to be taught even to the Ein Yodei Elishol. That's why the Gadol Vincha BeYomahu, it's only on that day, on Pesach, when you need to teach him about the basis for the mitzvahs. It's only BeYomahu, on the day of teaching Emunah, that's when Vigadol Vincha. Every other day, there's no Vigadol Vincha for the Ein Yodei Elishol. There's training him. Do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that. But v'gad delevinch for an any yodei elishol, it's only beyomahu. It's only at the Seder night, because that's where the yisodos of emunah are laid out. Time for one or two more. So yachum erosh chodesh, we need to understand the havamina. Why would we think to start from Rosh Chodesh? So since Yitzias Mitzrayim was a bria chadasha, and the world began to run through miracles, so the Arizal writes that the natural world started in Tishrei, but the miraculous world is the Ma'ala Min HaTeva starts in Nisan. Right? That's how the Rizal understands. The two deos, whether B'Nisan Nivra Olam or B'Tishrei Nivra Olam, is that they're both true. Tishrei Nivra Olam, the Olam HaTeva, and Nisan Nivra Olam is the Olam Hanes. So that's why we count the Malchei Yisrael from Nisan, because Malchei Yisrael, everything's Tali and Hashkacha, everything's with direct Hashkachas Hashem. So we then say, right, so we said Yachol Meir Shchodesh, because that's when, you know, the Derech HaNeis happens, and the whole, again, Avitz Kaisa Chavar keeps coming back to that Yisod. The whole point of Yitzias Mitzrayim is that we transition from Derech HaTeva to Derech HaNeis to direct Hashkocha. So Yachol Meir Shchodesh, because that's when the Derech HaNeis begins. And then we then say, Iba Yomahu Yachol Mibod Yom, because once we started shechting the Egyptian gods, the Sarash of Mitzrayim started to descend. And that's why it was Bavur, because it's only through the Achilles Karm Pesach that we're totally purified from any remnant of Zuamas Mitzrayim. And that's why the Achila is Ma'akev by Karm Pesach more than by any other Karban. We eat it until Chatzos, because that's when the Bechori Mitzrayim were killed, and we were B'nei Chorin Lagamri. Meaning, Yochel Mirosh Chodesh means the process of the transition from Teva to Neis started Mirosh Chodesh. And it continued Miba'od Yom when we started shechting the Karban Pesach. But it was only complete where we were totally clear of the Zuamas Mitzrayim at the time of the Achilas HaKarban. And the fact that it says V'gadol Vincha B'Yomahu, even though it wasn't Yom, it was actually Laila, is because there are certain elements of that night that are like day. This is actually a fairly famous comment, I think, that Ritzka Ezechover has, that the night of Yitzias Mitzrayim is actually day. Is in certain sense, it has, it's B'vchinas Yom. I mentioned this in Rabbi Sadovsky Shul on Thursday night. The Gra says that Gra asks a question: Manishtana halayla Hazeh, right? But it should be Hazot, right? Meaning Hazot. It's Mekeva. So why are we Halayla Hazeh, right? And we got to Vincha Bayomahu, and yet we're doing it at night, not during the daytime. So the fact that it says we got to Vincha Yomahu, even though it wasn't Yom, it was Laila, is because most other nights there are no special mitzvahs. On this night, there's Pesach Matzah Maror. Most nights there are mazikin. At night, it's a dangerous time. There are shade mazikin, whatever can, you know, these harmful forces. But this is Lel Shimurim, Lel Hamshumur Rabbamin Hamazikin. Somehow you're protected from mazikin on this night. When we say Bavur Zeh Asa Hashem Li, we're not saying that we do these mitzvahs because of the miracles that happened. He says he makes the same deal that Beis Halevi makes, but he says quite the opposite. Since we did these mitzvahs on that night, we were purified from the Zuama, we were able to have the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim and the elevation to a new type of interaction with Hashem, which had the clarity of Yom. So at that night, when we're cleansed from the Zuama's Mitzrayim, we achieved a certain clarity that one only has by Yom. So that's how he explains the paragraph of Yachal Merosh Chodesh. Baruch Shomer after Chasad Yisrael. So you ask the question, what's the big deal that Hashem kept his promise? Baruch Shomer after Chasad Yisrael. Shkoyach. I mean, of course you keep your promise. Who doesn't keep a promise? It would be lousy of you not to keep a promise. No? So he says, no, Hashem only promises Yado Ateda Ki Geri Yezaracha Beretz Lolehem. Hashem tells Avram Avinu that this whole destiny of Mitzrayim and Yitzias, it's all going to happen with your child. He had two children. He had Yitzchak and Yishmael. Which one it was going to happen with was still up in the air. Baruch Shomer after Chaso, Li Yisrael. Of course he was going to keep his promise. But we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for making that promise. That's also to say a verbal one, right? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to keep his promise, Li Yisrael. That he's going to allow that to happen through Klal Yisrael. When we then say Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chishif Esakeitz, because when Hashem is running the world with miracles, like he does after Yitzis Mitzrayim, it's our Torah and mitzvahs that get us out of Galus. But when we were in Mitzrayim and we didn't have that yet, we didn't have yet the schar of mitzvahs to get us out, it could only be if there was a predetermined end time that we were going to be able to get out. There was no other way out. This Galus, we have another way out, because now Hashem runs the world in a different way. Where when we do mitzvahs, Hashem is going to respond to that. So we have a way to end the Galus with our mitzvahs. Galus Mitzrayim, we didn't have that. We didn't have a Torah yet. So we didn't have a Torah yet. The only way that we were going to get out of Mitzrayim was that the Kates would arrive. So we thank Hashem for Chishev Es HaKates, for making a Kates to begin with, so that we can get out of Mitzrayim. And then one final thought he has on Baruch Shomer after Chasul Yisrael is that the idea here is that Maisa Avos Simon Laban. So Hashem thought carefully. This is also a good say over Bulvar. He says, Baruch Shomer after Chasul Yisrael, Hashem thought carefully about what Klal Yisrael is going to need in the future. And then he put Avram Avinu and Yaakov and Yitzchak and Yaakov through all those experiences, because those are the experiences that are going to benefit us in the future. So that, since it's built into the Bria, the Ma'aseh Avosim Labanim, Hashem was Chishev Es HaKeitz. He thought about how Yitzchak and Mitzrayim is going to play out by making Avram go through. He says, look, Avram Avinu had to go to Mitzrayim because there was a famine in Eretz Yisrael. Yaakov and his children have to go to Mitzrayim because there's a famine in Eretz Yisrael. Sarah is taken into Paro's house. All of Klal Yisrael, all of Sarah's children are taken as Avadim in Paro's country. Paro was punished with Negayim. Paro was punished with many Makos. Ultimately, Paro had to be very good to Avram and give him all sorts of gifts. Klal Yisrael leaves Mitzrayim, Baruch Hosh Gadol. Baruch Shomer after Chasul Yisrael, that he was Chishev Es HaKeitz, that he thought about how all this is going to have to play out, and he engineered that Avram Avinu should go through. That's what that Agada means when it says Baruch Shem Avtacha. So that Hashem really watched over that Avtacha to allow Avram to tread a certain path that will be beneficial for us in the future. Okay, I guess we'll stop there. Okay.